I'm going to introduce my second guest now, and good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Myra. Good to talk to you.
And you too. Well, welcome to Near FM and the Lifeline programme. And can you tell us a little bit about the Old Goat Society? I'm so excited about this. I know you want to be talking about the native Irish goat, which I know is over 5,000 years old. So can you just tell us a little bit first, please, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, we got interested in Mulroney about 10 years ago, or 2010, because they were coming down from the mountain into the village, and people were asking about them. So we did some research and found that there was an old Irish goat society down in Clare that had sort of not gone anywhere because they were culling these animals. And when we researched them, we were able to confirm that they were real old Irish goats going back to Neolithic times, and through research, phenotyping, showing their characteristics, and doing science with DNA studies through Trinity College and European universities, we were able to establish that they were a distinct breed of old Irish goats going back to Neolithic times, and that piqued our interest and restarted the Old Irish Goat Society again up here in Mayo.
That's an extraordinary thing. And are they very different from other goats that were introduced into Ireland? I've seen pictures now, but I mean, they seem to be just a fabulous goat, and the horns are enormous. Well, maybe that's the male, yeah. Now the horns are big, but they are handsome, aren't they?
Absolutely. We call them regal, Myra.
Ah.
They just stand out. And unfortunately, that's the attraction for a lot of people who kind of go out and shoot them.
Oh.
But anyhow, they are absolutely wonderful, and they share some characteristics with northern goats up in the northern European areas, some characteristics. But distinctly in Ireland, they are absolutely different, because they were originally here, and the other goats you hear about, the other Irish goats, these are the old Irish, but the other goats in Ireland, they were introduced by the English back at the end of the 1800s to improve the breed. So they are distinctive. Our problem is that they're all up, they can be all in the mountain now in feral herds, and the introgression is causing them to lose all their Irish characteristics. So we're trying to save them.
Oh my goodness. And now I'm looking at things here, and I did look it up. I have to be, I'm not that smart. I did look up, and I downloaded a load of stuff now, Heather. And it said here, the poor farmer's cow. What is that all about?
Oh, that's very interesting. Because certainly the history of Ireland, if you know about it, the Irish were always poor. Penal laws, you weren't allowed to have a horse, you know, over £5 could be taken from you. And they had, in the time of the famine, for example, they didn't have any horses or cows, and anything they had, they would have to sell off to pay the rent so they wouldn't be evicted. And the only animal that was the animals that were of real support to the poor Irish were the sheep, which didn't give very much milk. And the goats gave a lot of milk. They could give, you know, a lot of milk during the year. Not as much as a cow, but this is where the term came from, that the goat was the poor man's, the poor Irish man's cow. And it was, if you remember, back in those times, even at the best of times, all they had was milk, probably goat's milk largely, and potatoes. When the famine came, the potatoes were gone. Hopefully they had the goats, and all our ancestors survived because they had them.
Oh my goodness. So they were domesticated. And are they...
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm really don't know too much about this now. This is a new world for me, because I'm so excited that I found this goat. I didn't know anything about it. Now, let's just be honest. So it's not domesticated now like it was over 100 to 150 years ago.
That's correct. At the turn of the century, when they improved the goat, and there was a big domesticity going on at that time, they had to put more meat on these goats, because they're a small sort of scrawny goat, and they had to improve them. So the idea of improving them was to bring in bigger, fatter, stronger goats from Europe, from Switzerland, Nubian goats, African goats, all the rest of it, and crossbreed. And they served a purpose very much for the First World War effort. Thousands and thousands of Irish goats and these improved goats were sent over to England, and there are traces of them over there still. So that after the World War One was over, in that period coming after that and the next years after that, they kind of went out of fashion because there's more food and all the rest of it, and they were thrown on the mountain and discarded. So that's where you're hearing about them now, being on the mountain among these feral herds, which include some of the mixed breeds.
And what you call it, are they the native goats, are they in our folklore?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, have you heard in the Irish language, have you heard our songs, Puck or Bulla?
Oh, of course.
Allelu, Allelu. I mean, this is a funny, humorous story about the goat. But they are stories about the goats all over the place. In fact, the goats culturally throughout the world, because they're so unique, so curious, so different, so intelligent, and have a different appearance with horns, they're in every culture in the world, from anything from the devil, I mean, to gods, to all sorts of things. And in Ireland, they have a unique place in sense of the Puck Fair down in Kerry, the songs about them, as I told you. You go to the Art Museum in Dublin, and you see one of our most famous Irish paintings, which is the Connemara Girl. This is from about 1880. And there you see a nice Connemara girl with her shawl and all the rest of it. And beside her is a beautiful little female goat. I mean, a typical Irish goat. So it's well represented down through the years.
Well, I'm stunned. Okay, I do remember the song, but it's a long time since okay, let me get to pictures here. I'm looking at six pictures, and my goodness, the horns, the length of them, and they really look... Is their coat, it seems to be quite long, do they use the goat's hair for making things, or like sheep?
Well, there's two big differences. The sheep have wool, so, and that's been kind of easily look. You could easily see it and access it and so forth. The goats, of course, have hair, so, but they've got three layers. And this is quite interesting because it protects them on the mountains, and it's very kind of adaptable to their situation and environment and so forth. But the inside there is cashmere. So if you think of coats
cashmere.
And kind of wool, yeah, the inner layer is cashmere. Unfortunately, Myra, the being an inner layer, it's going to be very good for the goat and so forth. And there are cashmere goats out there who've been bred for this purpose. But our little fellows, it's hard to recover a lot of cashmere hair to be make a cashmere business, as it were.
Okay.
You follow?
So can you tell me a little bit, please, about the Old Goat Society? Because I just think it's... And I'm looking at a little logo here, and I think it's a... Oh, no, it's not. I thought it was a gentleman. It's actually a goat. I thought it was a gentleman.
Yeah.
It looks like a gentleman with one of those pointy beards. Oh, my goodness, I need to get new glasses. And it says to protect and preserve the old Irish goat. Oh, my gosh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit how the society started?
Well, as I mentioned, there was some consternation about coming down and eating daffodils in the village. So we got to looking into them and seeing that they were distinct up in the mountains as opposed to the other goats. So looking at them, there was just a small group of volunteers actually then and now, to be quite honest. And researching them because they were so distinctive. We could see from the history, the literature and the art and all the rest I mentioned to you, and then the physical characteristics that were so unique, they also added up. And these were very, very interesting research projects for this small group of us. And then, of course, with science, this nailed it down as distinctly Irish, distinctly European, and so forth. And in the big scale of things, there's been a disregard for, you know, animals like this because they weren't functional and on the farm. And there's 16 of 19 European goat breeds have already gone extinct. So we were seeing that our little ones were kind of being neglected. Well, much like yourself or myself way back, we didn't know they existed largely. Growing up, I saw them, but I didn't realize their importance. So the Goat Society went ahead realizing we had very small numbers. So we did a breeding program And if you remember the goats that went to Hoth there just a couple of months ago, most of those goats were from the breeding program because we had to go to our own resources. We couldn't go out and capture all of them and bring them home safely. So they're mostly from the breeding program. And then we established a visitor center. Well, before that, a visitor center to try and educate the people. And there's movies and things in there. And at the present time, we have sanctuary, which I must add, good-minded people are calling us because of the sanctuary. We're not taking in goats. We can only deal with the old Irish. Mm-hmm. And if they have goats, we would really want those goats to look Irish, and then to go under examination like DNA specimens to make sure they were Irish so that we could provide sanctuary, those kind of things. And as you saw, Myra, we got those little fellows doing what they do best, which is natural for them. They're doing the conservation grazing up in Hoth.
Which is extraordinary.
Which is a project down in Mayo as well. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, just that thing, I swim almost every day down in Donegal, and the fires were going on for weeks. No, it was going on for weeks and weeks now, and just there watching the smoke going across. And when I heard that the old goat society had given goats, and that the goats will eat the gauze and everything else, which is amazing. I just think that's absolutely fantastic. You have, I've taken everything down from your website, but you have a shop and that people can go to, and I love the thing outside. There's an art form there outside the door, which is a goat there, and it's absolutely amazing. But do you take donations? And you said you had a visitor centre as well. Is that part of the shop?
Yeah, the visitor centre and the shop, they're together, Myra. Yeah, there's a funny story about the visitor center there. We have so much interest, people coming through here. We're right on the Wild Atlantic Way. And
hang on a second, you're in the Atlantic Way, in Mayo. Are you south of Mayo or the north of Mayo?
We're north of Clew Bay. We're on the road from Newport, Westport to Achill.
Oh, perfect. Gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry.
So when we had people coming through, and we had Americans who we knew, they were coming over here. They were mosaic artists. So together with the Americans, they put up that mosaic in the front of the thing, which is a goat, as you can see, with big horns. And if you look at it, there's kind of the sun rising behind it, and it looks like a halo. So in our mind, it's the holy goat.
I'm not going to make any comment. Yeah. But I hadn't actually thought about that. Okay, but I know it is lovely.
The center itself. Thank you for mentioning donations. It's totally voluntary. We get some help from some people, and we're very thankful for it. But donations are lifeblood. I've told this story before that if you're investing in something, be careful if you're investing in something that eats, because your running costs are, and they have to be fed and groomed,
course,
and looked after and all the rest of it.
But can you just even put 10 or 20 or even 50 euro? I'm looking here at your website, the old Irish goat, and but you have different, like the homepage, the conservation, a visitor centre, old Irish goat society, and media. And and you also have a section here, donate. So people can actually just go on to that, can't they, and put money in?
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful. And anything that they would be able to donate would be very much appreciated. None of this goes to any salaries of ours. We're all voluntary. The goat society is, but we do have to pay some people to look after the goats on the field and bring them food.
Of course. I saw something here now. I have to adjust. The heritage on the hoof. I don't know who came up with that.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. You got to see them. You got to see them on the hoof. So hopefully you'll visit someday.
Okay. It says the goats are a living history. And they're called the Heritage on the Hoof, which is extraordinary. But they're beautiful animals. I mean, they really are. I kind of just seem to have fallen in love with them and everything else. They just seem to be so gorgeous. And are you getting the local tourist office or the local departments down there in Mayo? Are they helping you out at all? Or even the Heritage Council?
Well, we have got some help. I have to recognize that we have some help from the Heritage Council. We don't get big grants and stuff, but we have our local politician has helped us, no question. He's been very good. He's not in cabinet level or anything now, but very helpful. We had some help from the department early on to help us get DNA samples, which essentially, you know, was copper-fasted this whole business because the science was there. And there's a rare breed just from the science, you know. You don't have to go back breeding like the Victorians would do to show the pedigree. You know, yes, the science is there. Yes. But we still haven't got recognition as a rare breed. We have no legislation from the government for to protect the animals. And these are our problems, and we're trying to work through it.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, as I said at the outset, this is all new to me. So what about worldwide? Has there been a worldwide organization? Have they looked at your organization?
Well, sort of two answers to that, Myra. When the goats went to Holt, that got worldwide attention. We're getting Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Poland, Fiji, you know, America radio and all the rest of it. So we had worldwide response to that, which is very, very fulfilling. And that was a good news story environmentally and all the rest of it. With the current issues, you know, that the pressures they're under at the moment with tours coming in, that's kind of hitting the goats and putting the goats in huge danger. So that story hasn't gotten out yet.
Oh, hang on a second. I'm a little bit lost there. What do you mean by that? People are not killing them by any chance, are they?
No, this is the big problem. There's a wonderful wonderful in the sense of a welcome story, the Irish Farmers Journal, brilliant piece of work. We were sort of marginally aware of things in the past, but we're totally helpless to do anything. But this story broke to show the hunting tours coming in, mostly from America and some from Europe, gun tours, hunting tours, organized and well-funded and very profitable for a couple of Irish agencies. And they come in and they go up the mountains and slaughter these goats, bring them in from the west of Ireland, bring them over to private farms and places on the east coast that we know about, hauliers involved and all the rest of it, and they shoot them as trophies. So this is going on right now, and there's a petition. While we were shocked reading about it and kind of twiddling our thumbs and wondering, saying our prayers, wondering what to do, again, the Irish began to respond, and actually a petition was set up by a young lady. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Can I just say to you, I actually am going to say something to you now. Because if volunteers have been involved in this and the goats have been sent to save our landscape in Howth, I really think that you need to come back and tell us more about that, because if so many people have worked at hand, and these goats have been around since the Vikings and since the Celts and even before that. So I'm going to say to you right now that I would be honoured, which I'm absolutely thrilled you're here now at the moment, but I would be honoured if you come back next week and chat to us about that, more about that.
Oh yeah, sure.
Or I will contact you later and then we will make a date, if that's okay.
Yeah.
But I am so thrilled. I'm so excited. I actually, I want a goat called after me. What I'm going to do with my donation.
Oh yeah.
But it has to be a pretty goat.
It has It has happened, Mara.
Well, I want, but they have to be very pretty. And that doesn't mean I'm pretty, by the way, or anything else like that. Yeah. So look it, I'm going to leave it now because I'm really just about out of time and I don't want to get into trouble here in the studio. So let me talk to you later and we'll make a date. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more. And what an extraordinary organisation and what an extraordinary person you are. And I really, really appreciate that. So, Patrick, I'm going to let you go and we'll chat later on, okay? And in the meantime,
thank you, Mario.
Not at all. It's been really, really wonderful chatting with you. Talk to you soon, okay, Patrick? Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you.
Not at all. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.